Wrong set of lights. Switch the lights. The other bank of lights, the same set, but the other bank of lights, my brother. Praise God. There you go, my brother. You can all ask me later. Okay. Because I don't want distractions. And if I pick up on it, I know you're picking up on it. Okay? So, open up this morning to John. To John chapter 3. I want to look to verse 16. Favorite verse for me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, that was one verse that I've known practically all my life. You know, because I used to go to church, and then I walked away from church. You know why? Because I looked at the people. I saw people that were coming to church and were just going there to actually have their card stamped or to make sure they could get a pin that said they had consecutive times coming. And so that wasn't for me, so I walked away. But that verse was instilled into me back then. And you see it at the end zones. Everybody's holding up the John 3:16 sign. Well, it used to be when you went across the toll bridge, if y'all remember paying the tolls, you know. But when you went over there and you made a left off the bridge and you went down where the shop and Savers used to be Kmart. But, you know, down right there, there used to be a big rock on a hill before they had anything in there. And painted on that rock was John 3:16. And every time I'd see it as a kid or that, I would say that verse to myself. So, yeah, it has an impact, and it had an impact on my life. Look at this, the same verse, though, in the Amplified Classic. Amplified Classic. It says, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. Oh, that's something. Just love that verse. For God so loved the world. See, that is why Jesus was born into the world. You know, in 7 days, it will be Christmas Day. I know some of you just went, took a deep breath. When we celebrate that it is the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's what the day is about. That's what it's about. See, Jesus is the manifestation of God's love to the world, to each and every one of us. Now, flip your page back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Now remember, who is the Word? Jesus is the Word here. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That is referring to creation. So there it is. It says right there, in the beginning was Jesus. And Jesus was with God. And Jesus was God. Wow. But down in verse 14, it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Think about that. The Word came to earth and became flesh. Flesh and bone like us. So think about that. What it means is He came down and He moved into the neighborhood, folks. And He was full of grace and full of truth. And it's never ending with Him. Now, Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6. And this is where Isaiah is prophesying the birth of Jesus here. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You know, and I stopped right there. And I said, okay. I started to go over those. I thought about those names. Wonderful. Well, wonderful. Why we refer to Him as wonderful? Well, let me give you a list. Redeemer, Bread of Life, Lord, Creator, Son of the Living God, Only Begotten Son, Beloved Son. Now, then He's called Counselor. A counselor is a confidential advisor, a person who gives advice or counseling. The only counsel that we should consider 100% reliable is the counsel given to us by the Creator who genuinely cares for His creation. Amen. His name shall be Everlasting Father. See, in ancient times, the father of nations was viewed much in the same way as the father of a family. It was the father's responsibility to protect and to provide for the children in the same way this child to be born will become a king who will be a father to the children, to us, to protect and to provide for us. Prince of Peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. Now, not to get into a lot of depth in it, but see, in Isaiah here, it's referring to a deeper, more foundational meaning of the word peace. See, in that respect, it is the spiritual harmony brought about by an individual's restoration with God. The only way it could happen is through the Prince of Peace for us. Then you have Mighty God. Okay? Now, there's a lot more that could be talked about those names. But Mighty God, see, that one struck me. See, after I looked at the first two, and I was sitting there, and I went, and when I hit that one, I paused. And I paused there for quite a while. And I understand the Holy Spirit said, "I want you to concentrate here on this one particular name. Mighty God. His name shall be called Mighty God." The child Jesus we're talking about. Jesus, as a baby, is going to be called Mighty God. Mighty is a translation of the Hebrew word Gabor. G-I-B-O-R, Gabor. which is defined as strength, power, hero, warrior. Now, mighty God in the Bible was actually El Gibor. Okay? You got, you look in the Hebrew and then see, it reads one way, but it's actually. So he is the mighty God. He is El Gibor. So Isaiah tells us that Jesus is El Gibor. He is the God of strength. He is the God of power. He is our hero, and he is our warrior. He's the source of our strength. Realize that. He is the source of our power. El Gibor. He is God, our warrior. A warrior who fights for the good of his people. It is his nature to wage war against those who would rise up against his name and against his children. I said his children. And we are his children. He was born to be a warrior for us. As a warrior, he fought for us and he has given us victory. He has given us victory. How? Let me just give you a couple of Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 15. Okay. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in the cross. In the cross. He died on a cross, was buried in the grave for 3 days. But on the third day, he was resurrected to life. He was resurrected to life. But during that time, see, there was a mighty spiritual battle being fought in the heavenly realm. And guess who the warrior was? El Gibor. He disarmed principalities and powers over us and made a public spectacle of them, something we could have never done. He took on our enemies of sin, death, and Satan. And he won. He won. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 55 and 57. This is the Passion Translation. But this is yours as closest. So death, tell me, where is your victory? Tell me, death, where is your sting? It is sin that gives death its sting, and the law that gives sin its power. But thanks be to God for giving us victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. Jesus' sacrificial love, act of love, brought forgiveness of sin. I can hear him when he was up there. He turned around because the sin of the world was laid on him. He turned around and went, and he nailed it right there. He nailed it right there. It was because of that sacrificial act of love. And what's love got to do with it? Everything. Amen. But he also removed the curse of the law. It was a curse of the law that was over us. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Yeah. He redeemed us from the curse. You ought to read the curses sometimes. Be more appreciative of what this verse says. Hallelujah. But he is a warrior, and he's our warrior. He warriors for us on our behalf. And also, you know, he is called Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. There you go. Sabaoth. S-A-B-A-O-T-H. Sabaoth. Okay. But our reason I'm pointing out, because that is the Lord of hosts. Are you getting that? The Lord of hosts is rolled into that. The Lord God who controls the visible and the invisible angelic armies. Yeah, there are visible angels with you, and you don't even know who they are sometimes. You go back and you look at some of the things you've been through, and somebody that's just been there to stop you from doing something. It's been an angel. Our visible angels and our invisible angels. And Charles keeps trying to blow them off the front fender of his car. Yeah. Believe me, when I can't keep up with Charles, I'm telling you. Phew, he's flying. See, he is our warrior hero. Because of his birthright, get this, his revolutionary beliefs. Believe me, they were revolutionary. So you think about that when you go back. He truly knew what it was to be revolutionary. That's why he was our first revolutionist. That's why you go back and look at how our country was founded by revolutionists. People who had a vision. They had God's vision for this nation. We were birthed from God, because he had a plan for this nation. And it's revolutionary. And that's what it took to develop it to this point. And we will not let go of that. We will not, because the people say, we are the people, and we have a voice, and we are the church. We are the ecclesia. Amen. We are the church. Hallelujah. But also, he is our warrior hero because of his suffering. His mission to save the world. His transformation of society or the Western world. Yeah. Warrior hero. Yeah. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Verses 9 through 11. Therefore, okay, warrior hero. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus wields the greatest power and authority in all of heaven and earth. It is the most powerful name in the whole universe, and everything and everyone submits to its authority. The whole of creation recognizes the authority and the power of the name. The name. That song that they just sang. In Jesus' name, God of possible. Says it so well. I speak the name of all authority, declaring blessings, every promise he is faithful to keep. I speak the name no grave could ever hold. He is greater, he is stronger, he is the God of possible. He is the God of possible for us. Is anything too hard for him?
No.
He has said that in Jeremiah. Praise God. So speak Jesus, the name of all authority. Jesus has given us the authority to use his name. So use it. Use it with the authority that he has given you. Called, you got faith, brother? Yeah, I got faith. I got faith in Jesus. And I'm going to use his name. So you speak that name, Jesus. Right now, we're living in the most intense time in human history. It is no time to cower in fear or even allow darkness and evil to prevail. For the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, is what Jesus said.
Amen.
Amen. See, it's time to use the authority God has given us. He is El Gabor, mighty God. Luke chapter 10, another one of my foundational scriptures, which I just love this scripture. I quote it all the time. I just love it. You're there? I'll be there in 1 second. I do this to pace myself for Shirley. 10:19. Okay. I just love Shirley. Because she can laugh and smile and point out where you need to get direction changed in your life. And she does it with that smile. And you say, oh, yeah, you know, she's right. Yeah, she's right. So you there? Now, this is the Amplified. Because you got to amplify this one. And this is what Jesus told us. Behold, I have given you authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions, and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing in any way shall harm you. All right, let's make this declaration. You ready? Jesus has given me authority and power to trample upon serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses. And nothing in any way shall harm me. Amen. Woo! Jesus, come on. You know, we've known about the authority of Christ for a long time, folks. But I just can't figure out why we don't use it all the time. Right? Something happens, we take off and say, we're going to fix this. Oh, Jesus, come on. That's what we need to do. Hallelujah. So has that ever happened to you? You know you got the power and authority, but you neglect to use them. You neglect to use the name above all names. Hallelujah. See, sometimes we allow things to go on that should not go on instead of using the authority in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And he gave us that right. And he gave us his name. See, I believe that there are three things we must be aware of in order to use the authority Jesus has given us. One, we have to know what it is. We have to know that it belongs to us. We have to know how to use it. What authority is? The authority that Jesus is talking about in Luke 10:19 is not brute force power. It is delegated power. Okay, elder, what is delegated power?
Exousia.
Can you say that? Exousia. That's right. See, it's much like what a policeman possesses, okay? It's delegated power. See, that policeman, when he steps out in front of that traffic out there and he holds up his hand, it is, and what stops those cars and trucks is not his own brute strength. He is stopping them with what is called delegated authority. What is delegated authority?
Exousia.
Yeah. Well, we're going to learn these words because they're powerful for you.
They are.
You know? And that comes for him by the badge he wears and by the law that backs him. See, that's the authority we have in Christ. We're not stopping the forces of darkness, sickness, fear, evil, lack with our own strength. We're stopping them with the delegated authority given to us by God in Christ. We're backed by all the power of God. So how amazing is that? God Almighty Himself is the power behind our authority. Yeah. El Gabor. A child named El Gabor. That's what He will be called. Mighty God. Our warrior. Our hero. A source of our strength, the source of our power. Ephesians 6:10 says, Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. You got that right. In the power of His might. That means we can step out in front of the devil and hold up our hand and say, no, no. Why can we do that? Because we're backed by the power of God right there. El Gabor.
Amen.
Mighty God.
Amen.
That's where you have your authority. Now, number two, it belongs to us. It belongs to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay. 27. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. We are the body of Christ. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. And His authority is perpetuated through the body. Perpetuated means without end. You get that? When Jesus rose from the dead, He transferred His authority on the earth to His body, the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones. In God's mind, when Christ was raised, we were raised. We were raised. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. For he, God, raised us from the dead along with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. Let that sink in. Let me read that again. For he, God, raised us from the dead along with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. Both the head and the body are seated there, next to God, in the place of power and authority. That means we are seated there. Think about that. We are seated there. We are seated in the power position. And we are heirs. But I want you to think about it. I mean, you're seated there. Now. Right now you are. But we are also heirs. And I'll get back to you in a minute. But we are heirs. See, we are children of the Most High God. And because we are his children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. See, that is what Romans chapter 8, verse 17 tells us. That means that everything that is his, including his authority, now belongs to us. When?
Right now.
When?
Right now.
Right now. Right now it belongs to you. I know your mind is sitting there going, it belongs to you. So how do you use it? The door to exercising our authority in Christ hinges on our understanding of being seated with him in the heavenly realm. From a human perspective, the idea of sitting in heavenly places is challenging to grasp. And I know. Especially on this side of eternity. When you get to the other side, you're not going to care. You're going to be having a time in your life. But don't be in a hurry.
Amen.
Don't be in a hurry.
Got too much work to do.
Amen. God needs you. The church needs you. Hallelujah. Nevertheless, this is the experience of everyone who is redeemed by God's grace. You hear that? So in Ephesians there, verses 4 through 7, let's read that all together now. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us. Again, what's love got to do with it? Even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, I encourage you to meditate on that verse 6, until you fully grasp the revelation that you are seated with him. And you are the one that he moves through. You are the one he moves through.
Excellent.
We are united with Jesus Christ in his resurrection life. And there is power in resurrection life. So I pray that you all understand the incredible greatness of God's power for all of us who believe in him. We have resurrection life in us. How powerful is that? That is powerful. The greatness of God's incredible power towards us is rivaled by the magnitude of his love, mercy, and grace. Since Christ is seated at God's right hand in the heavenly realms, so too are we in a spiritual sense. See? You aren't up there bodily, but spiritually you are. See? And that's where you got to get it into your spirit, man. The real man inside you, who you are. You are a spirit. Okay? You are a spirit and a soul. And you live in a body. And when a body's done here on earth, it's discarded. You can't kill the spirit. Your spirit and soul are going somewhere. And if you're not born again, you ain't going to heaven. Because that's what the word simply says. You didn't confess him as Lord. And that's what our job is, to make sure we don't want to leave anybody out. No, I like that declaration. We're calling in them prodigals. We're calling in them sons and daughters that are left. Those family members that are out there. We're calling them in Jesus' name. We don't want them living, in hell here on earth. We want to get them straightened out to feel the love of God, to see that there's more to life than what they're looking at in the worldly realm. When you look at it through God's perspective, we are victorious. Yeah, in so many areas in your life you are. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Since we have been raised to new life with Christ, we can now set our sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. That's where we're at. To sit in the heavenly places is more than a figure of speech. It is a spiritual reality for the believer. Because of our union with Christ, we reap the benefits of his position of divine authority. In Psalm 110, verse 1. That's cool. It says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. Where are you seated? Where are you seated? Oh, that verse 1. Oh, that was the New Living Translation. That was New Living Translation. But they get the reality of that. See, we're seated with him. Guess where he's putting the enemies? Under our feet as well. Under our feet as well. He is our head and he is our representative. Now, here's something that Peter taught. First Peter, and this is chapter 3. Verse 22, New Living Translation, my brother. But this is something that Peter taught. It says, now Christ has gone to heaven. He is seated in the place of honor next to God. And all the angels and authorities and powers accept his authority. Angels are at our disposal. There is as much respect for us. You understand? We are seated with Christ. Our spiritual seat in the heavenly realm is a position of honor. It's much like being seated, you know, being at the VIP table of a presidential luncheon with number 45. Okay, I don't know about the other one. I don't know. I would consider that an honor. In fact, I don't think I would. Sorry. I pray for him. I pray for his salvation. Yep. He is a leader. I'm commanded to pray for him. But I don't have to sup with him. We have been given the royal privilege of being enthroned with the Son, and will one day, we will partake of his glory. You know, if we can let this truth just sink in, let's let it sink in, it will transform the way we think and the way we live. Because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places, our position in heaven is secure. But we must never forget that we don't deserve our place there. See, we didn't do anything to earn it. But God graces us anyway. Grace. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. And we sit in heavenly places while still living here on the earth. We have access through Jesus Christ to all of heaven's privileges and spiritual blessings. Don't try to figure it out. Accept it. Because that's what his word says. You spend too much time trying to make it a rationalize it like you would something here on earth. The spiritual realm doesn't work like that. Put out your faith. See by faith. Huh? Walk by faith. Come on. The power of God that raised Jesus from the dead is available and working on our behalf as we walk in this world. We have the whole armor of God at our disposal to help us stand against the devil's schemes and to stand firm against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Again, Ephesians 2, verse 6. For he, God, raised us from the dead along with Christ, seated us with him in the heavenly realm, because we are united with Christ Jesus. Like I said, I just encourage you, you got to meditate to get the full revelation of that verse. Yeah. And again, remember, it's you that he works through. Yes, he is El Gabor, mighty God. Why do I say that? Because when the adversaries come out and arise against us in any type of adversity, we can use our authority by speaking out what his word says, by using the name above all names. For example, This is something we can all say. We can all say. And I think we ought to say it. So say this. Say, sickness, I command you to leave my body. Now, in Jesus' name, according to 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes, I am healed. Now, I am healed. The Lord says you're healed. You tell your body, I'm healed in Jesus' name. That affliction won't stay very long when you start quoting a word and speaking a word over it with the authority and power that you have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Don't take it in. Don't entertain it. Speak to it right away. Soon as it starts, speak the word to it. That's what we got to do. I got to do that. Hallelujah. And I do that with authority because I have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as each and every one of us do. It is by faith, hallelujah, by faith we speak it. See, there's authority in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. You know, it's just like, you know, when you use the name of the president of the company you're working for, that name can get things done. You ever notice that, Carla? Huh? When you use the boss's name? See, it's the same in the spiritual realm, except the name of Jesus is higher, carries more weight than any other name. Now you think about that. When you use the name of Jesus, believing that you're seated with him at the right hand of God, you are backed by all the power of heaven. See, that's when you know, when you start speaking with the authority. That's when you know you can tell the dead to rise up. Yeah. You can take a hand and touch someone and they're healed. It's the authority in the name. Nothing to do with you. Nothing. I have been humbled at some of the things that God has used and worked through me to do. But to him be all the glory. It's nothing about me. Only thing I was doing was being willing and obedient and listening and doing what he told me to do. For years, I used to not do things. And I used to feel so weighted down, so terrible feeling. Now when he says do something, I do it. I don't wait. I ain't wasting time no more. Time is too precious. Time is moving too quick. We ain't got much longer for this year to last. It's been a great year. I know that's humble. It's been a great year for me. I've seen God moving. I've seen what God's been doing in our nation. He's shaking, he's waking, and he's moving. He's moving. And things are going to change. You're going to get an eye opening when you're going to go, how did he do that? Well, all along we've been believing for it. We know it's going to happen. So it's going to happen because he said so. America shall be saved. We're going to be back on track to where we're supposed to be. Truly, we've never really been off track. We just got some strays out there. You know? Hallelujah. But every knee will bow to the name of Jesus. Jesus made it very clear that his name is the key to all authority. Because in John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. One more page. Hey, this is in the red. It's in the red. So Jesus said, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Not one bit. Is that I will do it. What did the leper say? I know that you can heal me, but are you willing? He said, I am willing. Be thou clean. And immediately he was clean. Now, last one, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 6 and 8. This is when Peter and John encountered a lame man at the gate of Beautiful. But you know, one key thing here. Peter made sure that he had that man's full attention. Right? He looked at him. Got his attention. The man was ready to receive something. More than an alms. He received life. Because he didn't have a life doing what he was doing. Sitting there having to beg every day. What did Peter do? Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he leaped up, stood, and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. Yeah, he was not ashamed of his healing. He was leaping, and he was praising God. And everybody wanted to know, what happened? What happened? They said, well, them guys are over there. And when they came over, what did Peter and John do? They took no credit for that whatsoever. They said it was in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man walks. Because in the name is healing. The name is healing. It's healing in every aspect of your life. Yes. Physically, emotionally, come on, financially, and spiritually. Because when you're wounded spiritually, you're hurting. You're hurting. And that's why you need not to forsake the assemblies of yourself together. Amen? Amen. So it wasn't their own anointing or power that raised the man. It was the authority in the name of Jesus. The same authority belongs to us. Using the name of Jesus is how we use our delegated power from El Gibor. Amen and amen. Praise God. Amen. Thank you.